All right, are we? Yeah, we are. There we are. Hey, everybody.
Very.
There we are. There we are. I was
Oh,
like, just like
man.
staring at the screen, like wondering. I've like had, like a kind of a rough day, just because. Just trying to get this NES Classic episode done, and it's like not done. It has like so little left to be done on it, so it'll be out tomorrow.
I know the feeling. I mean, really, neither of us should be here.
I know we both have like stuff we need to finish, but
Yeah.
I can I we have I don't think we've missed a stream since like February. We've been consistent every week since February,
What
since
and
like the
was that like
MAGFest.
the only was that like the only stream we ever skipped since starting?
I think so. I mean, when we first
What
started, we
one?
were every other week.
What did we skip the stream for? Was it when we got back from G Anime?
No, we streamed that night when we got back.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember I played the French Canadian Kirby's Adventure, and Dave was on with me
Right. No,
for
this was
that.
when we came back, you played Doki Doki Panic.
Oh yeah, I was really bad at it But
I don't even remember. I don't know if anybody in the chat room remembers either.
yeah, but we've been crazy busy because we kind of flip-flopped on the NES Mini. Like at first it was like we're definitely doing it, then we couldn't get one, and then we were able to get one, and we're like let's just do it, let's get it over with.
Yeah. And like it's I got it on Monday, like Monday afternoon. I think we when did we shoot? Did we shoot on Wednesday?
Maybe like I spent oh gosh what could it have been Thursday? No, it
It's
must have been
no, it had to have been
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Regardless, we like
Yeah.
we finished the script on, and it was Wednesday when we finished it, 'cause we had it checked that day and we shot that night. So
Yeah,
really, like
yeah.
it's just been a crazy turnaround, and I think it's pretty neat. I've lost all like excitement and everything for it at this point. Because like I can't even like look at it and like get excited about it anymore because I mean, I
You've
really have
been
like working on it. Like I started working on it. I was up until 3 a.m. last night working on it, and I got up and started working on it at 8:30 this morning, and I worked on it in like all day.
I mean,
And
I've been working on Game Boy all day since, I mean, certainly had been before we started working on that NES script. And then, after I was able to get my shooting of that out of the way, then, I mean, I've been working on it all day myself for, I guess, about 4 to 5 days on end.
yeah.
All total, I would say I've got around a third of the episode edited, like finished.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's like
Considering
you've
this,
considered like you've edited as much in that one episode as like a normal RGB episode is or used to be.
yeah, or well, I mean, even to some extent
Well,
is.
the new used to be is 30 minutes now.
The new used to be.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, we have this episode, for those that don't know it, the Game Boy RGB episode. I'm looking at my timeline right now. It says 1 hour, 3 minutes, 16 seconds, and 57 frames. I'm sure
That's
that will change to some extent,
yeah, I mean, as you start to
but,
client closing on the end, you start kind of slicing stuff. Like I sliced, I want to say like a minute out of NES Mini, like towards the end. Because you start to
yeah, I
realize, like,
mean,
oh, like I've said this already in so many different ways, or I can fit this information into a little pop-up or
right.
something.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'd say it's about a third done. I mean, and to some extent, I'm I know it's not going to be done before Thanksgiving, but I'm still trying to keep the mindset of, I don't know, because that'll keep me motivated to just get done as much as I possibly can. Cause I want it done. If it takes a lot longer, then I just don't want to take too much time after Thanksgiving. So yeah. It'll almost definitely release the Friday/weekend following Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in the U.S.
You're like so intent on getting it finished before Final Fantasy 15 comes out.
It's not. Oh, I mean, that's not happening, because if I don't finish it before Thanksgiving, then I that's not happening.
Right.
Because I mean, how much time am I going to have to work on before then? You know, Sunday and part of Sunday and part of Monday. I mean, so I mean, it's simply not happening. I'll just try to avoid the internet for a few days.
Yeah.
Until I can get it done, and then it's Final Fantasy time. But this has been crazy. But you know, I've also in a lot of ways felt, despite the size of this, I've sort of had more fun working on this one than I have on especially a lot of the more recent RGB episodes. Those have, like, especially like the Framemeister Alternatives, like that got to be a major slog.
Right.
I was not particularly excited about that one, but this one, I still like, you know, I still feel kind of excited about this one. I feel confident in it.
Yeah. I mean, it could be the ultimate Game Boy, information resource forever.
I mean, I do feel like I'm making a pretty noteworthy video, if nothing else, and that helps keep me motivated. So
it goes well beyond the scope of like a regular RGB episode. It's very like all encompassing.
Right, because it includes the portable stuff, and originally I had no intention of doing that. I originally thought I was just going to make a Game Boy on TV episode, but then Bob from Retro RGB sent that big box of modded Game Boys and stuff, and I'm like, well, I guess may as well just do handhelds and on TV in one episode. And, you know, right. There's been thoughts like, oh, could we divide up handhelds and TV in separate episodes, or could we divide up Game Boy and Game Boy Advance in separate episodes? But ultimately, I realized there would be so much overlap.
Yeah.
So much overlap between those episodes. It'd be worth it to just put it in one monster episode. It'll be interesting to see how it does because it's so long. I mean, typically our long content does better. I mean, I can tell you if I was browsing YouTube and saw an hour long video, I wouldn't be clicking on it, but I think other people do. So,
yeah,
just see what happens.
The NES Classic episode will be, an RGB episode 306.
Yeah.
I think it is. I just realized I didn't put the title of 306 in it. So now
I don't know if it would fit in with tips and tweaks because there's not much to tweak.
Right. Maybe if it gets hacked. So I was going to play the NES Mini tonight, whether or not I finish the episode, but I am like so sick of every game on it right now, and I like don't even want to like spend any time with it. So I randomly thought like, hey, you know, I got this cool Dragon Layers 3D or Dragon Lair 3D at like a thrift shop, like outside of Buffalo.
Oh, is it not Dragons? It's Dragon?
Dragon Lair. It is Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's apostrophe S, possessive.
Yes, yes.
The dragon owns the lair.
Right, you know why, like, I thought I said Dragon's Lairs. I don't know. I'm out of my mind.
You played a dragon game last week.
That's true.
You got a theme going on here. I like it.
So I was all set up, and, you know, I was like, I'm just going to play this. And I put it in at 720p on the Xbox. So I had to, like, adjust all kinds of settings. So we're going to be playing a 720p Xbox game.
Oh, you are going to be playing it in 720p.
I am.
Wow. I had no idea. Yeah, I've always been interested in this game, even since before I played the original Dragon's Lair, the conversion on PS3. And I really liked it. I mean, I really like FMV games. You know, I know it's just all sort of memorization, but, you know, I really enjoyed it. It was fun to sort of figure out your way through and to do it legit. And I remember, you know, back when this came out, you know, I thought it looked cool. I was familiar with the Dragon's Lair name, and right. I was definitely pretty curious, but never got it. I feel like I've heard it's bad, but, like, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect. I found it at a thrift shop for $1.50. So, like, there's no way I was not going to buy that.
Now, I think this also came to GameCube. I'm not sure about PS2. I assume it must have.
I have no idea.
Let me look it up. Yep, it came to Xbox, GameCube, PS2, and Windows.
I'm assuming that the Xbox is probably considered the best version. I mean, it does have HD, so.
Yeah, I mean, that is usually the case. Let's see, it, you know, it's weird. It looks like it came out in late 2002. Whoa, this is, unless Wikipedia is omitting a release date, it looks like it may.
Oh, whoops! Hang on. Sorry, my camera did move. Sorry. Let me see if I can fix that. It's used to going over there. Hang on. It's like showing this other view. Let's
see if I can. This is a pretty cool animation. Is this a totally original animation? This isn't from.
No, it's like this.
Hey, one of the other games?
Hang on. I was watching until I tried to fix my camera. Let me see if I can fix it real quick. Ooh, there I am. Yeah, it was a little as an original animation, I think.
Yeah, I assume so. But unless Wikipedia is omitting omitting a North American release date for the PS2 version, it looks like it's only listing a European release for PS2.
Really?
Yeah. But it lists late November 2002 for GameCube and Xbox. So. Relatively early, pretty early generation game.
I wonder if it's the same voice actor for Daphne.
Well, no.
And I am playing this on the OSSC.
Ah.
And the OSSC says 750p for some reason. I don't know.
You know, I actually didn't even realize that the OSSC could take in 720p.
Oh, just over component, surely. Yeah. Make line just running well.
The frame rate looks pretty bad.
No, I think it looks pretty good. I mean, it looks like it's pretty good to me.
Maybe. I don't know if it's just my perception.
Maybe. I think it looks pretty good.
I'm just wondering if maybe the OSSC is struggling with it or something. I mean, you're looking at your PVM, I assume.
No, by looking over at the streaming window, it looks fine, too.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's Maybe it's just my stream. Because my, I struggle. Oh, all of a sudden it just like snapped to like smooth looking.
Oh.
Yeah. I think I'm on 240p.
Oh, that's why.
I can't watch YouTube streams very well for some reason. Well, it's usually okay if I watch like a E3 press conference or something, those are fine. But I like your streams, I don't know why. Like it really struggles with on mine, but it doesn't seem like anyone else complains.
Really?
I don't. Yeah, I don't know. Let me see what happens if I force it to like 720p. It'll probably start getting behind a lot. Okay, yeah. I mean, is it? It looks like it's like 60 frames.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Which, I mean, that would be kind of nuts. Like, you've got this cel-shaded 720p original Xbox game.
Yeah, right.
Released in 2002 and it's 720p? Like, who could even use that? Like, it's hard to believe it would be optimized for that.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I'm pretty familiar. Like, I mean, I'm not super familiar with the...
Oh, that eyeball thing is in the original
version.
Yeah,
I mean, like, at this point, it's, like, scene for scene, the same as the game. Or as the Laserdisc game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, try stream. Like his incoming stream might be a little choppy because it keeps on giving me a warning saying that our connection is not good.
I mean,
there's something.
Not there. Much I can do about that.
Yeah. Oh, there's money. Or no, it's just health. And, you know, like the dual analog, you know, like the camera control.
Uh-huh. It
feels pretty modern.
Really?
Yeah. Whoa.
What's that sound?
That's the...
Is that your rumble?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, this, like, actually looks, like, really good. Like, I mean, it's...
It'd be a good stream for your backlog. Right?
Yeah,
I bet you
yeah.
Like, Drum would like it because Drum's a big.
Oh, he loved it. Yeah, we're big Dragon's Lair original Dragon's Lair fans on the backloggery. Drum doesn't like Dragon's Lair 2 very much though. He's played some of it, but he said it was kind of unfair compared to the first game. Now, I'm sure some people would say that the first game is unfair, but not from my perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it's an arcade game. It's, like, meant to... I'd never made it past the first couple scenes in the arcade.
Well, the biggest thing with the second game, if I'm remembering correctly, is that you have to get these, like, secret items.
Right.
Or else at some point you're screwed. And there's just, like, no indication... Like that you missed something required.
Yeah. I liked Space Ace a little bit more.
Say what?
I like Space Ace a lot too. Like the other
one. Like, you know, I
like dying a whole bunch right here.
I totally forgot that that there was a Super Nintendo version of Space Ace. And I was watching some video of that recently, and it was pretty. It looked pretty bad.
There was a wasn't there a Super Nintendo version of this too? Not at like 3D, obviously, but
Was there a Super Nintendo Dragon's Lair? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was like a side scroller.
Huh. It's nice that there's no loading after you die, though.
Well, I can press start to skip the death animation. So did you see, like, my tweet from last night about, like, how people are selling the Framemeister for a way more over normal price on eBay.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Nobody really knows.
But I always saw Solaris as like the place to get it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the place that was originally recommended to us. And so we've just, like, we kind of stuck with it. I mean, I'd never bought anything there before, but, I mean, the price seemed as fair as anything out there. And what people are saying is that the Framemeister price has not fluctuated on Solaris. I did see, though, GameSack tweet, you know, maybe they're getting rid of stock and,
yeah, right.
and they'll be releasing a successor. I mean, you know, my hope will be that, you know, whatever their successor is, my hope is that, you know, it'll be a 4K scaler and that they won't necessarily retire the original Framemeister anytime soon. Because for some people, that's going to be the right thing, right? And, well, of course, I guess on the flip side, then that would, you know, make there be a reason for the new one to be more expensive. It would be nice if it's the same price, the 4K scaler.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be...
I mean, I feel like
they got to be working on something.
Yeah, I feel like it's got to be coming. It's got to be coming.
But I mean, in a way, it's like they can just like take their time, really, because like for as well as the Framemeister price sold originally, like it's got to be selling like better than it ever has in its lifetime right now. So they don't like
yeah,
they probably
maybe.
Feel like, oh, we don't need to release a new one right now. We can take our time with the original. I mean, with the they just like kill me. Yep. I just, like, got flat. Not even have any idea that was going to happen.
You were just kind of waiting there for a bit.
I was just kind of observing, seeing what's going on. Oh, you even have, like, a down thrust.
See, Austin Ellis say a 4K box. I'll sell mine for that. But see, here's the problem with us, though. Like, we feel like we can't get rid of anything because it's like we need to make comparisons.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah, definitely. You know, like, we will have to... you can always come up with a use for the original when you're not using it.
No, that's absolutely true.
I mean, you can use it as, like, do a dual stream and have one person have the... You can always come up with a use.
Yeah, you know, I just captured some OSSC footage earlier today for you, and it reminded me that I haven't fully finished kind of getting it integrated seamlessly into my setup. I've got the SCART going to it, but I don't have a permanent HDMI or component going to it. And to be honest, I'm not really sure what I will do for the component aspect.
Shoot. I just have mine feeding both RGB and component. Like, this is going into it. So I can send anything from any source to the OSSC. Well, when I get my G-SCART back. I guess that's happened in, like, the last week.
Yeah. Tell your little G-SCART story.
Why did it happen? So I was doing research.
Because your master system.
Yeah, because my master system was was having
so
problems.
So you made a wrong claim on the in your master system script and
my EverDrive script. Yeah,
in your EverDrive script, and Bob thought something was kind of funny about it, so you started doing some tests.
Because I had also read it someplace else, like read the, jeez. I'd read this information that 3D games will not work with the Master EverDrive. 3D glasses won't work because it uses too much power from the console.
And you tested it, and it didn't work.
I tested it. It didn't work. And, you know, I read that someplace. And I was like, oh, I guess that's true. So I put it in the script. Mm-hmm. And then Bob from RetroRGB said, he was fact-checking the script, and he said, this is not true. I have totally played, you know, 3D games off my Master Everdrive with friends in 3D with 3D glasses, and so I decided to give it another shot. I had a power source. The OSSC uses the same, or not the OSSC, the G-SCART uses the same power source as the Genesis One and Master System. Sorry, if you hear like the noises, because it was really cold here, and that's my heater kicking on. All right, I think I gotta go out there. I don't know if I'm supposed to go up here. Anyways, I tried another power source on my Master System, and lo and behold, like the 3D game, 3D glasses worked with 3D, with a 3D game. So I thought, like, oh, like maybe it's just my power source. Like, let me try the power source that's plugged into my G-SCART. And without even thinking about it, like, I plugged that in and I plugged my old one into my G-SCART.
Your childhood Master System power supply.
Yes, I plugged it into my OSSC, and it goes, or not OSSC, my...
Your G-SCART.
Yeah, I keep on wanting to say the other one. And it goes, and it just like there's like a power light on the G-SCART, and just like goes out.
Oh no!
And immediately, I'm like, no. And
this is why you're not playing a SCART system,
right? And you know, I just I fried it. It is dead, and it's like because of that power source. So I promptly threw that into the trash.
Mm-hmm. Your childhood Master System power supply.
Yes.
Who knew it would betray you?
Yeah. And luckily, you know, I had recently had trouble with one of the inputs on my G-SCART. I don't know what was going on. I was getting these weird kind of blue lines. So I had actually been emailing with Super G a little bit about it. And I was like, oh, this just happened. I guess I can't go that way. It keeps on killing me. Maybe I'm just going the wrong direction.
What happens if you haven't, like, actually fallen down the hole, have you?
Is there a hole there? Oh, you know what? I don't know if I thought that would just take me to the same place in the... Sorry, I'm... Too...
Frazzled.
Yeah. Anyways, so I, like, messaged him. I said... this just happened. He's like, okay, you can just send it to me. I'll fix it. So we got it on Thursday and fixed it on Saturday, and it's on its way back to me now.
I can't believe that it can be like fixed from being fried. Like
it's just the power input.
Oh, okay. So he just replaced that one part, and everything else is probably good.
Mm-hmm.
And fixed the bad input.
Well, he said that he...
So it didn't fry the whole board, in other words.
Right. He said that he tried it. He tried all the inputs with, like, the same systems I was having trouble with, and he couldn't replicate the problem.
Hmm.
See, that's just going to take me back to the same place.
Well, just try it.
I died. anyways, so it's on the way back to me. It's kind of cool. Like, I actually have like a bunch of different stuff in the mail. I have my fully repaired Dugin Dance PC
formerly
engine.
Formerly Dugin Dance.
Yeah, now Voltar. PC Engine RGB mod. He like removed all that stuff, like fixed it all up, did a fantastic job, and that should arrive tomorrow. And that has my modded PS1 in there as well. I got it chipped.
Oh, okay. Does that mean you can you use the PSIO on it, or is that a different chip?
Well, I think you can only use the PSIO on the on the Model 1s.
Oh, this is your little one.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I don't understand how... Sorry, everybody. This is... Now I can't get back over there. I can't get it to fall down. So that's on its way back. What else do I have on the way? I don't know. Maybe that's all I have at this point. It's like all these like kind of long-term things.
I ordered a the Super Game Boy.
Oh, the controller, right?
The Hori controller, which is just interesting. I mean, it doesn't really have anything to do with video quality, so it's like it's not the end of the world if it doesn't come in time because there's no tracking number on it. But it came from Japan. It's not that expensive. No, it hasn't come yet. It's not like critical to the episode because it's not really video quality related, but it's just interesting because it's got a slow motion button on it. That, as I understand, I think it's supposed to like actually slow down the clock. Like,
all right. It's not pause, unpause,
slow motion. Like, it's literal, true slow motion, which is like a unique thing that you could not do otherwise.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. It has like a downward angled A and B button, doesn't it?
I think so, but it looks so similar to a Game Boy that I'm wondering if it'll feel more like a Game Boy than a Super Nintendo controller. And if that's the case, it might feel okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say whether it's something I would actually prefer to use, but it's just so odd that I want it.
I keep on. You have to pull your sword out. You got to hit like the black button, and it's always like so awkwardly placed.
Oh gosh! Yeah, I can't even. I mean, I think start and select are hard enough to use on the Xbox controller.
Yeah.
Like I cannot use black and white without like looking at the controller. Grant, I haven't put a tremendous amount of time into a lot of Xbox games, but.
So you had kind of you played through Seiken Densetsu 3.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that was part of the reason that I didn't, I decided to skip out on the stream last night. I had already kind of told Corey, like, you know, get a guest and, you know, don't necessarily count on me because we might still be playing by the time. We did a charity marathon on the backloggery. I meant to do, like, a little Periscope to, like, show, like, my marathon setup because I did exactly the same as last time, with the exception of we didn't have a second feed because we were only playing one game, so that kind of made it a little even simpler. But I'm pretty proud of the setup that I've done for marathons. But yeah, we did with the English patch and a three player patch because Secret of Mana, Seiken Densetsu 2. Is three player. You know, you can use the multi-tap. But it's only two player in three for some reason. But it works almost perfectly. There's one part of the game that we read ahead of time. You don't want to have a third player tapped in. It's a great game for a marathon because you can easily just tap people in and out. You just hit the start button, same as Secret of Mana. but we did it. I bought a let me get it off my shelf.
I guess that's not how I do it.
I bought a Super UFO Pro 8. for the Super Nintendo. Because mainly because we thought we were going to kind of do an episode all about flash cards, not just EverDrives, or stuff that Crix sells. Mm-hmm. But then we ultimately, like, just the way that our schedules were our production schedules were lined up, we decided it'd be much easier to do an EverDrives episode and then, like, a separate, like, alternatives episode. And it's just something that we wanted to look at. I had generally heard, like, not great things about this, but it's like, well, you know, why not just try? And hey, guess what? It got us through Sekken Densetsu 3 with no issues.
That's cool. So that's really cool.
I mean, I know, like, for a flash cart, you know, I don't want to say snob, but for someone who is more into the whole flash cart concept, I'm sure it would be a greatly inferior thing, but so far it worked fine. I think if you're playing like a Super FX game, you have to actually have a Super FX game locked on the top.
So you're gonna take advantage of the chip on there. That's a good idea, though. I mean, just having one allows you to play other things.
Right. I haven't tested that yet, but I think that's how it's supposed to work. I don't know. I mean, just for fun, I had my copy of Sekken Densetsu 3 sitting on top. And what was cool was I was able to transfer my save from the, I replaced the battery in this because apparently, like, the batteries are usually dead when you get it. I was able to copy the save. Like, I backed up the save to the SD card, as well as the game cartridge, because I just wasn't sure, like, how well I could trust, you know, the cartridge. You know, doing this for a marathon.
I'm going behind this thing because.
Well, we called it a marathon, but we did, you know, we did it over Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know, so 25-hour game and 3 days.
That's pretty good length. I think that's a good length. I mean, 25 hours, like, that's,
yeah.
Oh, I guess I can just roll. I can just, like, it's like Donkey Kong style, where you can just, like, roll around perpetually. Can you just go through the game like this? Can you see it?
Yeah.
What now? Now that I'm around here, I don't know how to get.
Can you turn it off?
Oh, there's a. It's hard to. If that's a lever. Oh, I gotta hit it with the. Okay.
But anyway, so, I mean, I need to, I mean, I'm glad that I was able to put this through, you know, marathon stress, and it worked no problem. Obviously, I need to test it with more games. I don't know if it uses, like, the cartridge hardware to any extent if you have it locked on, but it's supposed to be capable of playing anything but a Super FX game without anything actually on top.
I mean,
but what I'm
good.
Curious is, if you do have the game on top, does it use the cartridge hardware with the ROM that is loaded into this? I don't know. Like, if you can, in other words, force it to use that hardware. Which would be interesting to me. I mean, so far, I mean, for someone who wants to use a flash cart for literally nothing but translation patches, like,
yeah,
like,
I think,
like,
that's a great.
So far, it's actually pretty good. So for what I want to do, So, so we're going to look at a few alternative type things, but,
I think it's going to be cool. I think that, that people will enjoy it. You know, it sucks because, you know, somebody said to me, you know, you should try to get this episode out before Black Friday because Crix and Stone Age Gamer both have sales, like 20% off on their stuff. And, you know, I wish I could. I'd probably die if I tried to get them both out.
Don't even worry about it. Looking at the calendar right now, let's see. The NES Classic is probably going to release tomorrow. Game Boy will probably release like the second or third, you know, Friday or Saturday. And then, you know, EverDrives, if that hits on the following week, the 9th, fine. If it hits on the 16th, fine. I mean, that's going to be a pretty dense episode, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be probably about a little bit over 30 minutes, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea.
We're just, like, making, like, a full, like, show at this point. Consistently.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea if, you know, I'm even going to manage to get another episode out and other than Game Boy for the year or not. I mean, there are, like, I feel like I'm probably going to be editing the EverDrive Alternative episode, probably, I'm guessing, maybe, I don't know.
Oh, the which one, the Alternatives?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because you have the most, whoa, I just get it to, like, glitch. My jump's really high right there. Sorry. I think that's going to probably be you. But, I mean, hopefully, you know, by the time I finish, I'll have, like, a style for it, and you just follow and do the same things.
I feel like I've kind of developed a style.
Somebody's saying the Retron 5 is $50 now? Because I really just want to get one just for to have for the show, in case I need to. Because when you're talking about something in the, you know, the Retron 5, like, oh, I had to pull like a shot from a different episode because I don't even know if it works appropriately.
I can pull you something if you need it. If it weren't so expensive, I would be kind of tempted to get a Retro Freak, not really to use, but just because it's got all those cartridge slots and you can, you know, dump the ROM. I think the idea of dumping your own ROM is fun. I don't know, though, if the format that it would dump them in would be something that would be useful elsewhere. Because, like, for example, one of the reasons I really like this, the concept, at least, of this Super UFO, is it's got this lock-on, this cartridge lock-on thing on top. You can dump the ROM to the SD card, but the thing is, it saves it in a weird .UFO format.
Right.
And when I tried to then take that file to my computer and patch that file, it didn't seem to work correctly. It said Lunar IPS said it worked, but I couldn't get it to load into the DRAM on this thing, which is what it needs to actually play the game. I only was testing it with Seiken Densetsu 3. Maybe it'd work with another game. I don't know. But and maybe for all I know, I could just rename that .UFO to whatever the standard Super Nintendo format is, and maybe then it would work. I don't know. Do you take questions about the Framemeister via email? You can just ask a question right now.
Yeah.
I mean, people leave comments all the time asking about Framemaster questions. However, if you want to ask a question like that, just ask it live now, because neither of us have been checking like comments on the channel recently, because we are so deep in some of the most intense episodes we've ever done. So,
right.
Well, not necessarily you, but yours is just such a quick turnaround.
Right. Yeah. I mean.
So we've been incredibly busy.
We try to get
busy.
Back if we can. You're much better at it than I am, but
I have not been looking, because I mean I've just been tunnel vision, Game Boy, working on this episode for, you know, like four to five days straight. So yeah, and I can't promise I'll necessarily see a question even in the comments here, but. An extremely complex issue that he couldn't post in chat or comment. Well, you know, if you do want to ask a question, you could, you know, by all means, maybe if you can hold off. If you can hold off like a week or two, we might be a little bit more likely to see it, because. Right now we're just so swamped with editing.
I mean, things will get a little bit easier for me tomorrow, but I mean, I'm meeting with somebody at a freelance job starting tomorrow. I don't know how intense it's going to be yet.
We have an NES, N64, and GameCube HDMI mod. Where is SNES HDMI mod? That's a good question.
Yeah,
that's a good question. I mean, believe me, if and when it happens, it seems like it's only a matter of time. I feel. I've not heard anything about that being worked on, but it certainly could be.
Man, this is pretty tough, but I mean, it's not.
Like, it's hard for me to tell how clunky the controls could possibly be.
Yeah, I mean, he's not exactly, like, nimble, but it's...
Be sure to mention in the Game Boy episode that there is a ton of R&D going on for screen replacements and upgrades. I mean, you know, I'm always reluctant to, like, talk too much about, you know, things that...
Haven't happened yet.
That may not... I mean, to some extent we always do, but I mean, some things are, you know, a lot of times it's just people saying, you know, hey, I want to do this. But who knows how long it can be to actually have it come about. You know, we always do like to mention stuff like that when we can. You know, and to some extent there is like the HDMI mod for the original Game Boy. You know, I don't really know the status of that. I mean, I've got it in my hands, but as far as getting a wider release, I'm not too sure what's going on with that right now. We've heard, you know, a little bit about a Game Boy Advance HDMI mod. You know, at this point, the episode is an hour long. There's going to be stuff that...
I mean, you could always fit it maybe in like a pop-up. Maybe I can go down here? Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's going to be things that change, and that's what the 300 level is for. You know, I mean, you know, we mention what we can in 200 levels. We make them as comprehensive as we possibly can at the time, and then 300 videos are oftentimes like addendums to 200 level videos.
Right.
I think of it as.
You know, if all else fails, just pull out your sword and start swinging. Is like solve that puzzle by accident.
Yeah, I'll see if you know there could possibly be a place to put a, you know, to mention that, you know, there is lots of things, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I mean, you could always put in, like, a little pop-up. You're good. You're good at knowing what should go in the pop-ups. That's why...
I've been a little light on the pop-ups in this episode, I feel.
I mean, I think it's possible to go overboard with it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like it's hard for me to say because, like, I'm... It's hard for me to guess, like, from the perspective of someone who did not edit the episode, like, whether they would actually read that or if it's just too much stuff on the screen. Because I find it difficult, like when I'm, like, watching an episode to make sure there's nothing wrong, I almost never, like, really read over the pop-ups all that well. And that's how we miss a few, you know, little... you know, misspellings and or things like that, because I'm always looking, my eye is always looking for other things that could be wrong rather than problems with the factoids. We call them factoids.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just, why can't I put this? I assume this goes on here. There it goes. Uh-oh. The cel shading looks really, really good in this.
It's like, it's so crazy, too, that it's such an early generation game. And it's 720p, and... I mean, yeah, on the stream, it certainly looks very good. You know, earlier today, I had the issue that you talked about in 104 about the CRT looking over bright.
Yeah.
I was looking at my PVM. I'm like, I swear it was not this bright yesterday. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy. Just like looked obnoxiously bright. I like went through most of the day, you know, working on the Game Boy episode with it like super bright. And thankfully I wasn't shooting any off screen stuff. I was just doing direct capture stuff today. And I realized it was because I'd unplugged the SCART from my OSSC, which it's funny because it's like that signal was going from the G-SCART to the PVM to the other PVM to the OSSC. And because it wasn't terminating in the OSSC, you were getting that over-bright effect.
Yeah.
Which is, it's funny that it ended up ultimately affecting both PVMs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Because if you have the little...
Terminator things?
Well, the BNC to... RCA inputs on there with no RCAs plugged into it.
Right.
It'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't have anything plugged into it at all, it's fine. But the reason you mentioned those little Terminator caps was, I guess some PVMs can look that way.
Right. So somebody in the...
Oh, I remember this room.
Yeah, me too.
From it's kind of crazy to see it like play out this way.
Yeah, it's pretty
like
neat.
like it's the same thing, but
oh geez, I gotta do it again. Somebody was mentioned in the chat said this game is like Dark Souls before Dark Souls. Does it seem that way to you?
No. What are your thoughts on HD CRT TVs with HDMI that support 480p and 720p and 1080i/p? I'm not really a fan, to be honest. I had one. Mine had DVI. I mean, you know, essentially the same thing. You know, I was able to use 720p 1080i with it, 480p, you know, I had had my GameCube in 480p on it. I had, you know, when I first got my PS3. But not impressed. I mean, it even moving to a small LCD HDTV was a huge boost for 720p. Like those TVs just do not have the resolution, I guess, to really to really display that, you know, that those very fine pixel details. It doesn't look that great for 240p because it doesn't do the scan line thing. Like it's as far as I understand, it's converting it to, it's scaling it. It doesn't look any different than plugging into a regular HDTV. It's a digital display.
Ah, the red kills you with one.
It's a digital TV using analog display technology, and ultimately you don't really get the benefits of either technology. In my opinion, because I wanted that TV so bad, and for years, once I got it, I was so proud of it and thought I had the best TV in the world. But that was, before I really got into understanding this stuff better and understanding more about how retro systems work and stuff. Some of the last footage that I got on it, in my memory, I always thought 480p looked really good on it. And when I got some footage for you for something 480p off of it, I was like, wow, it's like even 480p looks kind of bad. And I remembered I remembered Star Fox Adventures, like 480p widescreen, 60 frames a second. I remember it just looking amazing on that TV, and it kind of doesn't. Yeah, I don't recommend those. I mean, HD 480p, those resolutions look great on a PVM that can handle those, which unfortunately are not that many. We've both got 20L5s that can do that. That looks amazing on that kind of TV, or monitor, I should say. But no, those the consumer HD CRTs, I hate to admit, but I think they're kind of a scam. Or were. And I got suckered into it. And for a while, like I said, I was perfectly happy with it. But I'm glad that I've left that behind me. It was taking up too much space.
Yeah, I mean, you shot stuff for the CRT. I mean, isn't it unbelievable that was like a year ago since the CRT? It'll be probably working on it right about now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It released on December 4th, I think. I got to do another light gun stream here. Maybe I could do Baikun. Oh,
Baikun. Oh, Baikun. I have no idea what that means, but I love the name.
Well, now that I can easily just play my imports on my PS1.
Yeah. Oh, man. Maybe you can stream that next week instead of NES. Nah, you should stream the NES.
Yeah.
Maybe in our, assuming we might have a week between episodes, like between Game Boy and something else, Game Boy and Everdrive, maybe.
I'm just like, sorry, I keep on going quiet here. I'm just trying to just get some arrows. Should I get magic or something? That's the way it's supposed to go. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, so I, I don't know if anyone from a PAL region is watching, it would be very late for you or early in the morning for you if you were. I went to Germany in 2000, and you know, at the time I knew that there was a difference between North American and European video systems, but I don't really think I knew what was different. So I didn't know what to look for, really, though I was definitely curious, like, to see, like, you know, what their TVs looked like. Mm-hmm. But so I've got the PVM 20L5, which is a multi-format monitor and can, you know, do, you know, up to 480p and 720p and 1080i, and it can also do PAL. It can do 50 hertz. And so I'm borrowing a PAL Super Nintendo and a few games, including a PAL Super Game Boy, which is, it's like actually kind of cool that we're going to like be able to feature. I mean, we're not going to go terribly in depth on them. But I shot off screen footage of PAL Super Game Boy, on the 20L5, and looking at a CRT running in 50 hertz, like if this one anyway, and I'm curious if consumer CRTs have the same effect, but there is this obnoxious flicker. Like you can see.
Well, it's just the refresh. I mean, it's crazy because
you can see the refresh.
Yeah. And you know, it, if you don't look directly at it, it's like even worse.
Right. Well, I mean, you edited or had to work with some PAL content when you were working as an editor in New York.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's why, so I was like, oh yeah, I mean, like it's familiar to me just seeing that. But I remember thinking the same thing. It's like that 50 hertz, man. It's like, it's yeah, painful if you're not used to it.
Yeah, I'm sure you could get used to it, but it's like, it is so noticeable. You do not see that flicker on a, you know, when you're playing 240p on a 60 hertz screen. You do not see it. I don't see it. But yeah, it's like, it's crazy. Like it makes me like, I don't understand how how someone from a PAL region would have like that love of CRTs that we might have, because it's just like, it's so hard on the eyes.
But
like,
they're used to it, you know.
I guess. It's rough. I mean, Adam Zay, when I'm talking flicker, I'm not talking like the 480i flicker. This is a whole new league of flicker. And I haven't even tried, interlaced PAL. You know, this is, I'm talking progressive 288p PAL. And it is.
It almost makes you throw up.
It's obnoxious. You know, the funny thing is I decided to it's off screen, because I didn't want to introduce it. You know, I'm not even sure if the capture card can do PAL normally. I'm not all that up on how well the FrameMeister handles 50 hertz. So I just decided to do it all as off screen. At first I started recording, you know, 60 frames into the camera, but with the shutter speed synced up to PAL, which the Super Nintendo is actually 50.1 hertz. But then I actually changed my camera system to PAL, so I could record at 50 frames a second. With the shutter synced up to 50.1. And I thought it like came out really good. Like it doesn't look any more stuttery in my recording than it did in person, but you've got the benefit of not having that obnoxious flicker.
Yeah.
Which there's no way to recreate that in, you know, in a video. So it actually, the PAL footage looks a lot better. in the video than it looks in person.
That's cool.
It was interesting though. It was definitely interesting.
I gotta tell you, you know, like after these last couple of days of just like trying to shoot off my CRT, like I'm especially envious of like you being able to like sync up to your TV so easily.
You know, it's interesting. I actually think that I synced up to the PAL Super Nintendo more easily than I sync up to a lot of other things. The NTSC Super Nintendo seems to me a little harder to sync up to than some things.
But I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect. But I mean, it can be a heck of a lot better than
the to not get. I got some very faint rolling in the Game Boy Light, and I actually had to sync that up to. It was really hard to tell because it was so subtle. So subtle. It's almost like this faint roll that you. I think you've said that you've seen it in some other monitors. It just a very soft, slow roll through it. And I had to sync it up to like somewhere in like the 57 range.
It's so random, like these random numbers.
Yeah. You know, I mean the Game Boy stuff is tricky because I'm when I'm trying to like really show like the motion blur and stuff, like I actually tried to shoot in 60 frames so that I could then slow it down like so you could really get a good look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tricky because I can't shoot 4K at 60 frames, so I can't like zoom in on it.
Yeah, post. But still, I mean.
Well, I still zoom in a little, but I mean it's not as good.
Oh come on!
You know, the moiré patterns seem to show up worse. Something I discovered, I wish I'd realized this sooner. The moiré patterns are much less strong when I shoot, like if I'm trying to shoot a Game Boy straight on, like any Game Boy, trying to shoot it straight on, it's much harder to get minimal moiré pattern. But then I discovered that if I like turn the system at an angle and I'm like shooting it at an angle, like, you know, kind of diagonal, like it's much,
I think that's true for CRTs and everything. Pronounced. I think that's for everything, pretty much.
Yeah, I wish I'd realized that sooner. Because I'm always trying to shoot it like straight on, like. So I'm going to try that more, even with the CRT. You know, I don't normally do that, but a lot of stuff I did shoot straight on with the Game Boy. In part, you know, like so I can compare it to other things or, you know, have two Game Boys side by side. Like a lot of the comparisons in this episode are like literally like it's not superimposed or anything. It's literally two Game Boys sitting next to each other.
And that's cool.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I didn't put it in our little comparison windows. It's just two Game Boys next to each other or a Game Boy and a DS or something like that. And you know, it's really tricky like actually getting decent enough light on the screen.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and once you do that too, then any scratches or anything or imperfections like become much more noticeable, but I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, and once I started getting into some of the backlit screens, like I found there was like a totally different lighting situation that worked for it. Just like all kinds of just like crazy things in this episode that have, you know, made me shoot things in a way that I've never done before. And I guess maybe in some ways that's like part of like what's kind of, you know, kept me motivated in some ways. It's just like it's kind of, some of it's like interesting and unique, and it's, you know, I've had to approach certain things in a way that I haven't necessarily done before, and yeah, you know, it's challenging, but in like a good way.
it's the wizard's room. Sorry. I was going to say something. I totally forgot what I was going to say, though. I think it's cool. I'm really excited about it. I mean, I definitely want to upgrade my camera, like, this year. I also want to get I want to get one of those Magewell cards. I actually talked to Badass Consoles a little bit because he uses a Magewell card. He's like, the thing that okay. I realized about Magewell cards is that they make you wonder why you ever spent your time working with anything else. And instead of, like, wondering what resolutions it supports, you'll find yourself wondering what resolutions doesn't it support.
I don't really know that much about it. Like, do they have a really good reputation? Are they like...
I don't think anybody really knows too much about it. Like, there's no, like, YouTube videos on them really at all. And when they do...
Is it not really gaming focused?
Well, no, I mean, there's one that has an SDI input in on it as well. It has it does HDMI, S-Video composite component, and SDI.
Wow.
And I think that one's like $430 or something.
Does it do 4K?
I think it does 2K. It'd be cool if it did 4K. Maybe that one's only a little ways off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like kind of the big thing. Like we were talking about doing a capture card episode, mm-hmm. but then I thought, you know, why don't we do like a huge like capturing game footage episode, like everything about the subject.
Yeah.
And I pitched it to somebody else who might be interested in doing that, and he's like, "Oh yeah, sounds like a good idea." So, we'll see if hopefully that'll happen this year.
You know, something I've been thinking about lately that has me a little worried is, you know, when the time comes to really get into 4K, you know, actually get a 4K screen,
right.
Like. What bottlenecks in our setup that we have now might there exist to really having 4K seamlessly integrated? Like, for example, like would 4K and HDR actually pass through our existing...
No, we need a new HDMI splitter.
Yeah. And would a new splitter strip HDCP? Probably not. It's a new it's an all new form of HDCP too, isn't it?
Well, it's like HDMI 2.2, I think it is.
Or I think it's HDMI 2.0, HDCP 2.2, or something like that. I don't know. I don't pay that much attention.
Yeah,
to
I mean
that's
gonna be a whole other thing. Like we're gonna.
Yeah. So like, how are we going to find splitters that strip HDCP 2.2 and pass 4K and HDR. My monoprice HDMI switcher I have might not even do it for all I know. Probably doesn't.
We'll have no shortage of things to talk about and to spend money on.
I mean, like, for now, like, it's not that big of a deal because, like, I would love to capture 4K, but, you know, I got a PS4 Pro, you know, against my better judgment. I still got it. You know, and I can take advantage of some minor enhancements for now, but my intent is to get a 4K TV, like, in the first half of next year. That's my goal. I'm going to start saving money and try to make that happen.
What are you going to do with your old one?
I don't know. Definitely keeping it.
Yeah, you'll find something. I mean, put it upstairs.
It's still a great TV. Yeah, I mean, I just don't know where I have room upstairs to put it. I mean, I feel like I would want to put it somewhere. I mean, I would want to put it somewhere that would be... I want to do something with it that would be useful for the show. You know, part of me almost thinks it would be fun to have like a, you know, to put it up high and then put the 4K one down low. Have like a DS style arrangement.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I ever get a new one, I'm going to take my existing one and I'm going to put it like right where my Godzilla poster is. I'm going to mount it to the wall, like where my Godzilla poster currently is.
Whoa, this old console says he was looking at a cheap 4K splitter on eBay that was listed as HDCP stripper, only $18.
Huh.
Could you send that link to us on Twitter or as a DM on Twitter or something? Because I would not mind preemptively buying one or two of those. What size of 4K TV would I get? Not that big. Like, I don't think. Like, I don't. I mean, even 60 inches might be a little too big for my space. Like, which is kind of crazy because that's like that would be considered on the smallish end, I think, these days.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's.
I really would prefer to go for a 55. I feel like 55 would be the ideal size. The only thing that has me concerned is, you know, if I was editing in Premiere on a 4K screen and everything was, you know, scaled down, like I wouldn't be able to see it. So I need to see I assume you can set up Windows or Premiere or something to like use like bigger fonts and stuff. So it's like not super tiny on a 4K screen.
Well, no, it has like a built-in. Because if not,
then if that is going to be an issue, then you know, I might want to think twice about how I approach getting a 4K TV because I mean, you know, I need it to be a usable computer monitor at a distance of about, you know, 6 feet.
Saying an 80-inch television. I can't even imagine. Can you imagine going back and telling your kid, yourself as a kid, like one day you're going to have an 80-inch television? I mean, I remember like dreaming about like, oh, you know, like playing. I wonder if I can hit this.
You know, I mean, I've got 46 inches. Like, I don't think in its place, like, I don't think anything much more than 15 inches max extra, you know. So in other words, 55 top 60. I don't think it would fit in the space all that well. I mean, I guess it could be bigger if I like, because it kind of like it, my TV extends like 2 feet from the wall. I guess if I had the arm like not extended as far, I guess bigger could work, but there's no point in paying for that if I don't need it. Bigger's always going to cost more money.
Digital Foundries, you can something about
said
their,
you,
I saw their name.
Yeah, someone just said Digital Foundry said you can't get everything if you're looking for a 4K gaming TV, and that's true. You know, they reviewed some Panasonics, I think, that they really liked. I think they may have been European models, though, because I tried to research and I couldn't find them. The things that turned me off, though, to the ones that they reviewed, like, it sounded good, but it was an edge-lit screen, which I really would like to avoid an edge-lit screen if at all possible. Like, at one point, I wanted to wait for like the price of OLED to go down. I don't know if I'm going to do that unless the price of OLED goes down a bit, and I like somehow I'm able to save up more money than I expected. Like right now, like I'm just intending to start saving money with the intention of buying a 4K TV. I don't really have a plan yet of what model, what price. I'm just going to start saving money, and when I feel the time is right, I'll see, you know, what seemed like the smart gaming options.
Right. Speaking of Digital Foundry, we might have a little collaboration coming up.
Yeah. That's like crazy. I can't believe that.
At the very least, somebody from
a stream.
Yes, a stream for sure. And maybe some Patreon content. But we'll see. Turns out that John Linneman from Digital Foundry does like the really great DF retro stuff as well. Happens to like be from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
And he's going to be in town like for the holidays. And we're going to get together. I have kind of an episode that I've wanted to do for a long time. And I thought that maybe having some help from him would be like really like an awesome way to do it.
You know, there's a little Vizio talk, and you know, I've actually been more impressed than I expected to be with a lot of Vizios I have seen lately. And I remember reading some talk a while back that some of the Vizio TVs from this year are like better than the Samsung TVs.
That's crazy. I mean,
and they're usually more affordable. You know,
don't they essentially use like the same panels though?
That's what Voltar is saying. You know, you know, I've seen some good looking Vizios, and the price is kind of right on a lot of them. You know, I tried a friend's Vizio that's probably 5 to 6 years old, I would guess at this point. And it took everything I threw at it when I was testing the OSSC. It did 3x Super Nintendo. That's like all you need to know.
I see. I just got to use these buttons to raise that.
Voltar says, check out the D55U. 13.5 milliseconds latency, local dimming. Local dimming is like what you needed, I think, to get like, you know, really have the most range with HDR. You know, to be honest, I think I saw when I was in Target a couple of weeks ago, and I feel like I saw for the first time like a 4K TV like actually hooked up correctly. Like I've seen 4K TVs, but they either don't have the right kind of content or, you know, it's crummy quality. This was like actually like good looking stuff. And I'm like, yeah. Looks nice. I don't know if it was HDR or not, but you know, it definitely looks good.
The Vizio that he was talking about.
I don't know. I mean, that's
look it up at I was definitely.
Well, I'll look up Amazon. I was definitely looking at some like not like looking to immediately buy, but I was definitely looking at some Vizios. Like people were saying good things about their 4K. I think like HDR, at least on some models, like had to be implemented via a firmware update. So that kind of made me wary. Like, you know, I would kind of want one that was like built with HDR, you know, and you know, from the ground up. D55U Vizio, 55 inches, which is what I want.
I have this thing where I do really good, and then just when I'm about to,
it's not sold at Amazon, but I mean the prices are like
reasonable.
I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like $660 roughly.
That's like really good.
Yeah, like 55 inches is like my sweet spot, I think.
Yeah.
I'm looking up on Best Buy. D55U. It's $500 at Best Buy. It's on sale. You know what? I finally working on this Game Boy episode, I have finally been able to type in the numbers of 4K without having to look it up anymore.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it without looking it up anymore.
Yeah, it's 3840 by 2160.
Oh.
No. Look at me. I finally learned. But the reason is because sometimes when I do nesting, like if I want to have the full resolution of a 4K camera shot to work with, then I have to go edit the sequence settings because it defaults to 1080p because that's 1080p 60 because that's the sequence I'm editing on. But sometimes I want, I want to be 4K, the nest to be 4K. So I have to like manually type it in. Or sometimes I want to be 29.97 frames so that when I do keyframing, it doesn't look like over smooth.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if I can do the harder direction first. So I don't waste my time.
So I'm looking at this 55U. Does it have HDR? When I search for HDR on the Best Buy listing, it doesn't come up.
You think that's...
But you know what? I bet every Vizio that comes out in 2017 is going to have HDR, and they're probably going to be priced similarly.
Yeah,
so,
I mean...
I might not have to save up as much money as, you know, I thought. Like, part of me still is tempted by OLED, but as long as it's not edge lit, I think I would be okay with not holding out for OLED and spending significantly less money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I want to upgrade my camera first.
Andrew Bidding says, check out LG's 55-inch 7700 series.
With 4 exclamation points.
There we go. Here's the 54.6-inch LG. It's LED. It's a super UHD TV 4K. I really want you to know it's super. It's only $800. It's on sale down from $1,100, though.
See, I'm surprised that 4K is like taken off. Like
the content doesn't really exist.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's just that I felt like 4K wasn't going to be viewed as like a big enough jump. So that people would go for
Well, but think about it. It's a bigger jump than, 720p to 1080p. It's a much bigger jump.
much bigger jump. Yes.
But I mean, you know, I'll admit, like when I first started watching 1080p Blu-rays, I was like, how does it get better than this? You know. Yeah. Really, the only area where there really would be a significant benefit, I feel. And I intend to edit, 1080p as long as I can instead of 4K, because I feel like there's definitely some advantages. Namely that you can zoom in on 4K footage without losing any quality.
Right. That's like the main.
That's a huge thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to be able to do that too. Like, just in general, like your footage just like looks so much better than mine.
Well, I mean, I think it's just because it's a high quality sensor. Even 1080p stuff, just it's just really good. But
well, I mean, just like shooting this stuff for the NES Mini, I'm just like, man. The whole time, I was like, looks like it tries stuff just like so much better. That's why like if I don't have a shot for something and you have like done something in an episode previously, like I just recycle the shot if I need to.
But really, it's games really where I think the benefit for 4K is potentially, because games have the aliasing issue and you don't get that with movies.
Right.
So, you know, I'm willing to look at what 4K TVs come out in 2017, and you know, if the right options come around, the right price, and you know, I'm definitely looking to get into it. I feel it will benefit the show, and I feel like, I mean, once I get a 4K TV, like the first thing I'm going to do once I get a feel for it is, you know, do an episode about, you know, gaming on a 4K TV, not necessarily 4K content, but what's it, you know, what considerations do you need to make to play non-native 4K stuff on a 4K TV? Right. That's what's most interesting to me. Because let's face it, if someone's going to buy a new TV today, the chances are pretty strong, because you know the price is going down. You say you're surprised that 4K is taking off, but you know, stuff like 3D and all that, like that's always a big question mark. You know,
I just imagine them to go. Like, I thought that 4K would like not be as big of a deal, and it people would just wait for 8K.
I think higher resolution is always inevitable.
Right.
I mean, we're going to get to a point of diminishing returns, I think. I mean, it seems hard to believe that we wouldn't, but hey, who knows? I mean, you know, we could be getting into, you know, 10,000 plus P, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Eventually, but it's,
just the thought of like doing these episodes down the road. It's just like kind of hilarious.
How to play Game Boy games on your 21 million P whatever TV you call it at that point.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I was doing some research on 4K stuff, like I'm starting to get the impression that you aren't supposed to call a 4K TV an HD TV anymore. It's like that's a ultra
ultra.
No, I don't think it's ultra. I think it's just 4K. It's just a 4K TV.
Yeah, because they're gonna eventually run out of
like, they aren't calling it names. Like ultra. Like when I think the UHD. I think I read that doesn't even stand for ultra. They're just calling it UHD. You know, they're just trying to have cool sounding marketing stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
It doesn't mean anything. Like, I think you're supposed to call it 4K, 4K TV. You aren't supposed to call it an HD TV, which I've just called anything that is 720p, 1080i and higher. That's HD.
Right.
Anything that is not...
I'm like, climb to the top of this tower. I'm so stressed out right now that I'm going to fall. Because it's taking me so long to get up here.
You know, in my mind, anything that is not, you know, 480i, 480p, anything that is beyond that is HD in my mind.
Yeah.
Aside from, you know, the PAL equivalents, obviously. But, it's just like, it all falls in the HD category for me. So I'm like, I'm going to have to get used to, like, I mean, in everyday talk, it's fine to say, you know, call it an HD TV. But, you know, I feel like for the show, I want to use the proper terminology. I want to call it a 4K TV if that's indeed correct. You know, not, you don't call it HD, you call 1080p HD, or you call full HD.
Full, you know, HD. Like,
yeah. Stop crapping on 720p, man. 720p is like, I like 720p.
You know, I couldn't even see the gap in the floor. I had to do a little lag test with the NES Mini, and I used my iPhone to shoot 120 frames per second.
Ah.
But I did it on a 720p native TV, and I wonder if that made the lag less, because it doesn't look that bad. It felt like it was worse, or maybe I just got used to it because I had spent so much time with it.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Because there's definitely a lag there, especially you can see it, you know, when I press the button. But it's cool being able to do that. But my phone will only do 120 frames. It can actually do up to 240 frames per second.
Wow.
Or not, which is kind of crazy.
I have no idea what, you know, I've got a Google Pixel. I have no idea what it can do.
But yeah, I mean, let's see how I can't wait till it's done. You know that feeling though, when you're just,
oh yeah. Oh, I believe me, I can't wait until this is done. Like, I'm just like, I know I'm not going to finish before Black Friday like I wanted, but
what if you do?
But what if I do? That's that, like I say, I got to keep holding on to that hope. That slightest possibility that maybe I could, you know, because that's what's going to, you know, get me making good progress and then have less to do after Thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, I've just, you know, and you know, I'm going to have to spend some time tomorrow working on a project for work. I should probably spend some time working on another thing, but no one's ever said anything else had to be done before Thanksgiving. So I don't know if I'm going to give, I feel like I should. I don't know. It's so hard to figure out how to allocate my time for that right now. But because this Game Boy thing feels all encompassing, all important right now.
We got to figure out what our kind of less serious episode for the first episode of the new year will be this time.
Oh yeah, we didn't end up really doing. What did we do this year? Because we started. Oh, it was the.
It was Hidden Gems.
The Hidden Gems. Yeah. We do. Yeah, because I want to do Cameo soon.
Right, but I mean. Like we were talking about doing,
but we need to do a both of us for our first.
Yeah,
episode.
It's always fun to do kind of a top 10 or.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
This is intense. Kind of impressed at just how intense it is. it's not perfect, but I think it's a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely interested.
How much does it sell for on eBay?
I mean, probably so really cheap. $10 for the Xbox version.
So I got kind of a deal on
looks
it.
Looks like 10 to 14. Mostly, here's one that's 8. Oh, that's disc only. Why is it disc only and it's got a picture of the case? It's not a stock picture either. It's like a bad photograph of the case and it says disc only. Oh, well, it's in a black case. Maybe it came with like a reproduction case or something. The GameCube version.
I mean, obviously that is like progressive as well.
I'm sure it is. But it's probably not widescreen, I bet. Here's one. The GameCube one is 16, but then here's another that's $32.
Really? So I wonder if it's considered better.
It's maybe it's just more rare. I don't know.
I mean, it's definitely not.
Or more in demand. I mean, I feel like GameCube games, I don't know. I could be wrong. I feel like there are probably more people that have a system that can play GameCube games than original Xbox games.
Yeah. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of GameCube games just kind of popping up at Goodwill lately. I already have the PS2 version, but it popped up the other day for $3. I got SSX 3, which is an amazing game. And I was like, well, you know, looks like it has a progressive scan on it. I'll buy that for $3.
Someone linked me to the IGN, the old IGN head-to-head of Prince of Persia: Sands of Time that I had mentioned on stream, you know, because I remember, you know, they you know did that sort of thing on a much lesser scale, you know, before Digital Foundry did it,
right?
Years and years ago, and it was so funny looking at that too, because like the the pictures were so small that I was like, is there seriously no way I can click this to make it bigger? it really looked like a tiny thumbnail. And these are like the pictures that they're using to like, you know, show like, you know, the differences between systems. And it was just like unacceptably tiny. Like, it's just so surreal. Okay, that was Austin. Where did you dig that up? Because I'm having a hard time finding those on Google, just searching on Google, because I feel like they did a head-to-head of this game. I would love to take a look at that.
You know, when you try to like run through a door that you've come from, you like smacks into it. It makes like a smacking sound. And he like kind of like backs off and holds his jaw for a second. Kind of surprised. I don't really hear him making his like noises, or he's like, ooh, ooh.
Like, I don't know why I like Google. Like, those aren't coming up for me in Google searches. Google head-to-head IGN. Maybe you gotta have those hyphens for it to work right. Here we go. Oh, here's the Beyond Good and Evil one. I feel like they did one for Dragon's Lair. It's not coming up though.
This game does not have an autosave, so I should probably save my game. Yep. Just in case. I did realize that I was missing one comparison
in the
mini, and it's just because, I mean, we need a high def NES between the two of us.
Oh yeah, but because were you able to use? I gave you a bunch of footage.
I know, but there's nothing I can use for comparison, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah. Like, unless I do another Kirby, I could do another Kirby, I guess.
I mean, Kirby is so easy to use, you know?
Yeah, but I already used it. It's overdone, like, but two times, I think.
And I mean I use a lot of Kirby in my NES episodes because it's such an easy game to use for comparisons.
I just think we need to get a high def.
Did I not get you some Mario or Mario 2 or
I
use, something?
I do have a Mario 3 comparison. Maybe I already have, see it. It sucks because, you know, you only have so many, like a limited amount of games. And a lot of those games on there are not good for comparisons. I mean, there are like games with like black backgrounds that they're just not.
Yeah, those early NES games. I'm not a fan of early NES games, except for, you know, Mario. Like Mario, you know, Super Mario is like, it's really kind of unbelievable, like just how far ahead it is of everything else of its time. Like nothing is even close. Like I'm not saying everything else is bad, but like you can see that they were definitely from an earlier era of gaming. You know, they were of the, you know, Atari age, really, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but with a Japanese you know, take on that sort of, you know, they were from that earlier era of game design. And you know, frankly, that is not as appealing to me. I mean, the first game I ever played was Mario 1. Super Mario Brothers 1. And that, like, it's just, I mean, it's like, you know, if you were, I can't even think of an analogy. Like, I mean, it's just generations ahead in terms of, you know, just conceptually. And it really took almost 2 years for that sort of game to become much more standard.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, people didn't.
I mean,
they immediately wanted to copy it.
Right. And, you know, and there are, you know, there are other, you know, side scrolling platformers, but very few feel as, just as polished and tight as Mario.
Right.
Like Mario 1, just like, I mean, it feels perfect to this day.
See, I don't, it's a little bit too, like, I mean, I didn't play it very much when it came out. Just as, you know, a heads up. But, you know, it's like, it's very much more, like, momentum-based. Like, your jumps are, like, more momentum-based.
Oh, yeah.
Than,
oh, yeah. And I can understand if you're not used to controlling Mario. Like,
right.
You know, I can understand, like, how it might catch you a little off guard. But it, like once you have a feel for it, like it's just perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. I'm gonna figure out a way to get
we'll
that.
Never not be perfect. You know, I have the same feeling about Mario 64. Like, you know, some people think that
yeah,
it's
I mean,
too loose or slippery or something, but it's just like, but I don't think it is at all, but it's like it, there's so much you can do with your movement in that game that practically no modern game really even lets you do. It's just, it's so, you've just got so much freedom in how Mario moves in Mario 64. It's just, it's unbelievable.
This one's pretty hard here. I don't know if I can make this. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. It might surprise me.
I mean, you know, rocky start, but you start making some decent progress here.
Yeah, I wonder how far along I am. I mean, will you look it up on how long to beat? See how long it is?
Sure.
If there's anybody has even beaten this game, put it in there.
I wouldn't be surprised if not. Also, Adam Zay says Mario 64 is one of his least favorite games of all time, and you are nearly dead to me now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a...
I can, like, that is a game, like, I know that a lot of people are like, oh, that game hasn't aged very well. That is, like, it's like you are speaking a foreign language. Like, I cannot get myself in the mindset where I can even begin to understand the proposition that Mario 64 does not, is just not like a complete joy. Like, that is how in love with that game I am. Like, I just cannot comprehend not thinking that game is mind-blowingly good. No one has submitted anything for Dragon's Lair 3D.
All right, so who knows? It could be...
You might be the first person to ever beat it.
Yeah.
You know, what's so weird is, you know, how long to beat has entries for, you know, games like the original Dragon's Lair, and it says 50 minutes. How long to beat can be a very tricky tool for older games, especially action games or games where you, you know, have limited lives and start from the beginning, because, you know, do people take into consideration just the one run, or
like
is it
combined? Yeah.
Is it, you know, every single attempt? How long, you know, did it, you know, it might have taken you 12 hours to beat a, you know, what could be a 50 minute run.
You know, I have mana in this, and like I have no idea how to use it. I have like a whole other like life, a mana meter. I've never used it. Maybe I just don't need it. Oh man, that's a giant bat.
Mario 64 is not hard to control. I'm here to proclaim this as fact.
I kind of had a hard time with it.
I mean, I may, you know, I always say that I feel like I was the right age for the N64 when it came out. Like, I was so open to the idea of learning to control and this new sort of environment and this new sort of controller and just so my mind was so thoroughly blown by just 3D in general, like stuff like Star Fox and Stunt Race FX, you know, the Super FX stuff, you know, that, you know, most people I knew were Nintendo people. You know, I didn't have a lot of exposure to other things. You know, I'd played Wolfenstein 3D. I may have seen a little bit of Tomb Raider, but like that, like Mario 64, you know, like I was saying about Mario 1, like it was just like in a whole other league. Like Mario 64, in my mind, set the template for what kind of polish a 3D game should have.
You know, this game has pretty good music. It's very, almost feels like John Williams-esque.
Wow. Are you fighting a boss, or is this just an enemy?
I think this is a boss. It has, like, music that sounds like it would be a boss music. It doesn't seem like it's that hard. I mean, overall, the game does not feel like it's that hard. It's just a matter of figuring the stuff out. And you have unlimited lives.
Which see, is like Adam Zay, Adam Zay here is talking crap about Mario 64. I apologize. But, you know, didn't know what to do. I mean, the game was all about, you know, exploring. And just the joy of moving around in this 3D space that, I mean, nothing up to that point even came close to what that was in terms of a 3D space that you could play in and move about in and run and jump and all these things you could do in it. You know, and you just kind of figure each time you go into a level, you know, you've got some vague tip as to what to do.
Yeah, but, I mean, even like Galaxy and everything was like that too. It never said what you needed to do.
The interesting thing though about Galaxy is that it's actually kind of goes back to a more linear sort of level design, which in its time I think was interesting again, right? Like, you know, you've got Mario 64 and Sunshine, which are kind of the open, you want to talk about vague. I mean, Sunshine I think is a lot more vague than 64 in my opinion. But you know, you've got kind of this more open sort of thing, whereas Galaxy almost goes back to the, you know, start position, end goal position sort of thing. It's much more linear, which, you know, at the time I was ready for that again, and that was like kind of exciting to have a more linear sort of structure in a 3D game. That was, you know, Mario Galaxy definitely controls differently from 64. Which it for me was initially like kind of a little, you know, I kind of get over it a little bit because it's a little slower, a little less slippery. I kind of like the slippery feel of Mario 64. You know, that momentum, I really like the feel of the momentum. Whereas Mario is definitely slower in Galaxy, but the level design works so well with how Mario controls in that game, and the fact that you're more going for an end goal rather than exploring and trying to find a way to get to something or other. You know, it's really kind of, you know, almost like Mario 3 or Mario World, you know, put in a 3D game, much more so than Mario 64 is. So it's interesting. I think the Switch game looks great. I love the look of it, and I love that, you know, it's got a more traditional 3D Mario perspective compared to, yeah, like, I mean, 3D Land.
We know nothing about it, really.
Yeah, but I mean, it clearly looks like a single player only sort of game, just the way that given the way that the camera works. Which, you know, don't get me wrong, I think that 3D Land and 3D World are great games, but I feel like their concessions to make them multiplayer friendly kind of took a little bit away of, well, I guess 3D Land wasn't necessarily, because I don't think it had any multiplayer. But I mean, but you know, they had a different perspective. You know, there was definitely a different feel to the layout of the levels, and this looks a little more 64/Galaxy-esque to me. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I didn't realize it was like after 11.
You're getting into it.
I know. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely pretty interested. I'd play it, but now that I know that the Xbox version is 720p and 60 frames a second, I definitely want that one. Like, that's great.
Let's see how that. I'm gonna just try to do this last puzzle here.
But you definitely hit a good landmark, I guess, being that boss. How do you save? Have you been saving?
Yeah,
all?
Can, well, you can save like in the pause menu. But no, I only just saved a second ago. It's like kind of tough here. This is some memorizing you got to do.
Blibbler says he thinks that this might be able to do 1080i as well. I mean, I would always opt for 720p over 1080i. Right. That's just me. I did experiment a long time with using 1080i on the PlayStation TV, because I mean, it makes sense because the Vita's resolution is half of 1080p. So it would make sense that 1080i should work well for it. But I couldn't really determine that there was a perceptible advantage of, you know, deinterlaced 1080i. Of course, I haven't tried on,
I was there.
I have not tried the PlayStation TV. Well, I would have to, I'd have to put that, that SDI card and get a converter into the 20L5, which would screw up my component plans. I kind of forgot that I have that SDI card.
Yeah.
I want to do something with it, but I'm glad I have it. I mean, I can definitely utilize it somehow in the future, but I'm not sure how I'll use it for now.
Oh, there's the history gallery. Let's see what this is. It's surprising that this does not... I wonder if you can unlock the original.
I mean, that would be kind of a big bonus, right? I mean, they would have had to have... I mean, for this time, I feel like it would have been a big bonus.
There's a 3-part documentary on the making of this game on here.
Whoa. It's kind of cool.
It seems like it's kind of like professionally produced, too. It has like this really epic sounding narrator guy. It has like a whole introduction. Meet the voice actors behind the characters. You know, this is like when games used to have so much stuff, extra stuff they would put on there.
Yeah,
during that generation, like the PS2, Xbox.
I mean, they
GameCube.
Yeah, but I mean, even like. You know, there was like great behind the scenes stuff for like Uncharted 1 and 2. I want to say 3 may have not had it. I'm pretty sure 4 didn't. And that, 4 oh, does. 4 does?
No, well, you know what? 4 has like a separate, they had like a separate thing. It was not part of the game.
Oh. Right. I mean, but it was it was just like a fun thing to do. Like after finishing the game, like you could like watch those videos instead of. It's just not the same going to YouTube, I think.
Oh, look at that. There's a PVM in the background.
I see that all the time when I'm like watching movies now.
Look, he's like in this like a control room. There's like a DV cam deck down there.
Yeah,
this is kind of cool. I kind of want to watch this whole thing. I wonder how long it is.
But I see PVMs like all the time in movies now that I'm like looking for. You know, I'm just like PVM.
Yeah.
like no matter what the context of the scene is, I'm just like ooh.
Oh man, that'd be so cool. They have like an original. It's like a Dragon's Lair movie poster.
This guy has like way too much headroom. Like his like head is like almost the middle of the frame.
you're very particular about that stuff.
Yeah, I am.
You know, when you shoot interviews, you like to like really get in. Look at this. This is kind of cool. Like, I wonder how long this is. It's 3 parts. I know for sure. Oh, Secret of Nim. It's a really good movie. I've never seen All Dogs Go to Heaven or Thumbelina. I've seen American Tale. I saw American Tale in the theater.
I've seen All Dogs Go to Heaven. I don't remember liking it that much. Was The Land Before Time Don Bluth?
What was it? Oh, Land Before Time?
Yeah.
I don't know. Aren't you too young to know about Land Before Time?
Do you realize that there's like 15 of those by now?
Yes, and I've seen several of them. My daughter's watched several of them.
It's like, I mean, I might be exaggerating on the number a little, but not much. Like, there's almost as many of them as there are Final Fantasies. Like, it's kind of crazy. Like, I didn't know that until, like, 2 or 3 years ago, that there was more than, like, 2 or 3.
You know, it's... I remember when Pizza Hut had these, like, puppets you could get of the characters of Land Before Time, and I had them all.
I mean, I remember being very, very young when I saw Land Before Time.
I definitely saw it in the theater. I was young, too.
It wasn't in a theater. I don't know what year it came out. Let me look at what year it came out. I saw it on VHS. I was visiting some people, like my some guy with my dad's work. Like, he and his family went on vacation and invited us to go, like, to this cabin in the woods or whatever, wherever this was. And they had a young daughter, and we watched Land Before Time. I remember that. But I was really young.
Yeah. Didn't they kickstart a film of Dragon Slayer? I think there's a Dragon Slayer film coming, right? They kickstarted it. I mean, Don Bluth, like, he disappeared, like, after Titan AE. Like, you didn't hear much from him for a long time.
Oh, okay. Land Before Time is Don Bluth, and it was released in 1988, so probably later than you thought.
Oh, so I was 10.
I was 4.
But they did they not kickstart a film version of this?
I don't know.
Did you see Titan AE? You ever seen it?
No.
It's really interesting because it's like kind of a meld between like CG and his style animation. And it's very obvious that whatever they were using to like output the 3D graphics, like their systems were not powerful enough. And it like the frame rate kind of stutters here and there. Where it's like, it's kind of interesting. Maybe they had to rush it and they didn't have the time to optimize everything. This is cool. I mean, I can't fast forward or anything. Let's see what the introduction is. Oh, it's just a video. I mean, this is new. I don't think this is in the arcade at all. Man, you can... I don't remember the arcade being... Like, you can... really see... Daphne's nips in that... in that dress. Like, they're, like... protruding. I'm very surprised. I was not expecting that. Because I don't think it was like... Oh, see, it, like, that's where it leads right up to in the arcade. Like, that's where the arcade game starts.
I feel like this might be Dragon's Lair 2 it's showing, which I haven't
seen much of. Time Warp is... Because, like, by then, like, Daphne and... Wasn't Time Warp 2? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said, 2.
You mean from the beginning here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I might be behind you a ways.
All right, well, that's going to do it for that game. For now. I think I might come back to this, though.
Yeah, I mean, you should finish it. It can't be that long.
It's probably longer than we realize, we would assume.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, it can be for a lot of people today, but I feel like, especially in the era that this game released in, like, game length was like a big issue. Like there can be people like that today. I feel like it's much
I don't know. You still see a lot of people that get like really, really angry if a game does not.
Yeah.
And it's like, now I'd rather have games that are like 7 to 12 hours.
It's
like,
yeah, it's like concise, tightly, you know, paced. I feel like, you know, since we're in the era of indie games, I feel like the idea of a shorter game is fine for a lot of people, though I think they also want priced accordingly, of course. But I feel like especially in that era, like, you know, people had like a minimum number of hours that was acceptable for a game.
Yeah, I mean, which is, it's weird because...
I mean, a good game is a good game.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't care if it's like, I like something that's just, you know, like I was talking about Uncharted 4 yesterday, and I think the Uncharted 4 might have been like a little bit too long.
Yeah, there was definitely like a lot of long exploration segments. Like, I would actually say, like, its ratio of, like, just exploration to action was probably more even than a lot of other ones. You know, I feel like thinking back on Uncharted 4, like I loved, like, the atmosphere. I loved the, you know, the story and everything that went along with it. But, like, for the action set pieces, I feel like weren't as spectacular as, say, Uncharted 2, which I feel like, really, like, those action set pieces, like, is what Uncharted does so well.
Right.
And what I think 2 did the best of any of the series. It's like the exploration stuff in the Uncharted games has always been, like, I feel like for a lot of people it's, like, equal joy in both parts, but... for me, the exploration stuff has never been as entertaining.
Right.
It's just you're just holding the analog stick and pressing the X button to go to the next, you know, the next foothold with bird poop on it. You know.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's no particular challenge to that part. It's all part of the atmosphere and stuff, and you know, they're good segments for character building and stuff, and all that is enjoyable in the sense that I feel like Uncharted kind of gets a free pass for some of its more slow paced segments because it's trying so hard to like be almost like a tribute to action movies, I feel. It's okay when Uncharted strays away from, you know, pure gameplay, I feel, because the movies are, or what the games are intending to be. But it is, you know, the third person action shooting that I think is what makes Uncharted so good in a lot of ways for me. And it was this point that 4 didn't quite have as much of that. But, you know, those parts where you're just like exploring with your brother, you know, those are good for a first time through, though I wonder how they'll be for a replay.
Right. I mean, I was just talking about how Uncharted 1, 2, and 3, I went back and started them again like immediately. And mm-hmm. I definitely had no desire to do that with 4.
Yeah, but, you know, you're also at a different point in your life, right? Like, and with the channel and all that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you aren't really thinking in that mindset of doing an immediate replay.
Right.
Like, you know.
But, I mean, like, I finished Rise of the Tomb Raider. I started it and
Did finish.
I finished it. Like, it took me, like, 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I think I liked it more than Uncharted 4.
Wow.
I mean, it was cool. I mean, there's definitely like a lot more gameplay there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was like that with the first Tomb Raider as well.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm excited to get to it. I'm hoping that you played on Xbox One, right?
Right.
I'm hoping that that for the PS4 version, they're going to release a version in it, just a regular case, because the one that's out now is just like some sort of like folding cardboard thing.
Right.
And I hate it.
Yeah. We're not fans of stuff like that.
No. I know that they're trying to make that be some sort of fancy special thing, but, and Square Enix is so bad for that.
Yeah, they did it with, like, all the Kingdom Hearts and stuff like that, too.
Yeah. But the thing with the Kingdom Hearts games, they, like, almost immediately released, like, a regular edition, like, almost right away.
Right. Well, is that going to do it? Is that going to do it for this week?
Yeah, I think so. We
got to watch down that episode, hopefully.
Yeah, we're going, as soon as we get off here, we're going, Corey's got a mostly finished version of the NES Classic episode. We're going to watch it, figure out how close to good to go it is, and hopefully you'll see that. Are we willing to say that you'll see it tomorrow?
Well, yeah, I mean, if when we go through it and we like fix whatever needs to be fixed, I'm just going to do the sound effects, and I'll hopefully export it tonight, maybe even upload it tonight. We'll see.
Oh, wow. Wow.
We'll see. I mean, maybe I'll export it and then...
Get a good night's sleep first.
Yeah. I was up until 3, like over, after 3, like last night, working on it.
Yeah. No need for that.
And I was up at 8:30 a.m. that day, and I worked on it like all day. All day, like saying, like, I'm going to finish it. I got to finish it before the stream. I got to finish it before the stream. And... I didn't finish it before the stream. Anyways, we will be back next week, and we'll probably be playing NES Mini next week. Hopefully everyone sees it and likes it. All right. Have a good night, everybody. You're just going to wave this time?